Welcome to the program tonight. Just a quick shout out to Bob Kincaid. He begins his seventh year at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, doing talk radio via the web. Check him out, HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. I guess you know by now that the U.S. citizens, 10 of them, most of them from an Idaho-based church group, have been charged with child kidnapping and criminal association today. Their Haitian lawyer said the judge found sufficient evidence to file charges against these people. They were arrested last Friday at Haiti's border with the Dominican Republic. They were taken from a closed court hearing to jail in Port-au-Prince. One of them waved and smiled faintly to reporters, but declined to answer questions, according to the Associated Press. The Haitian attorney representing them said that under Haiti's legal system, there won't be an open trial, but a judge will consider the evidence. It could take the judge 3 months to render a verdict. The Haitian attorney said a Haitian prosecutor told him the Americans were charged because they had the children in their possession. Each of the kidnapping counts carries a possible sentence of 5 to 15 years in prison. It's a strange case. On the one hand, is respect the word I'm looking for? No, I guess that's not it. I honor the attempt of anyone to raise a child out of poverty and conditions in which the child is struggling just for existence. I think that's a noble effort, whether it is a Shriners Hospital or religious missionaries or humanist groups or whoever it is that try to rescue children, whether they're in Haiti or Mississippi or Detroit. On the other hand, the arrogance that is so frequently found among these evangelical groups is choking. The arrogance that they are being directed by their cloud being to go do things that one doesn't need the direction from a cloud being to go do. One can use one's own moral precepts or principles or ethical standards of behavior of helping children who are desperately in need. But with respect, you see, when you take out the religious factor or the cloud being factor, then you don't have people running to a place like Haiti saying, well, God is directing us. If you have atheists or humanists doing this kind of work, you have people saying, well, we are trying to work within the framework of the laws of this country, and we're down here to help children reconnect with their parents. We're helping the parents then to rebuild some kind of a life until they can get assistance from all these various agents. You see the difference, don't you? The arrogance of the religious groups is beyond belief. It is to go into someone else's country, ignore the laws, and this is the part that I realize there's a fine line here, but it's not that fine to say, well, my law, I am a missionary, I am with a church group, I am an evangelical, Jesus is my constant companion. Therefore, my laws supersede the laws of your sovereign nation. So I'm going to come down here, scoop up children, and take them across an international border with the intent of spiriting them out of the country and somewhere else. If that's not arrogance, what is? So again, on the one hand, I certainly honor efforts made by people to rescue children who need rescuing. But that does not mean kidnapping them. That does not mean so calculatedly altering their entire existence with no one's permission. It does not mean that. It may mean moving to Haiti for a while and building a structure and getting the word out that children who need a place to sleep or a meal or clean water or antibiotic ointment are welcome to come here to this place, but it stays in Haiti. You understand what I'm saying? Sure you do. Rick Sanchez, the other day, got Judson Phillips on the air. He's the founder of something, some scam. It's an amazing scam. This guy is the Bernie Madoff of the political business. He's going to make himself millions. Judson Phillips, founder of Tea Party Nation. They have a convention going on. 600-700 people gathered in Nashville, Tennessee. Is it Nashville? I think it's Nashville, Tennessee, to figure out a way to pull America back from the ring. Where were these people during 8 years of Bush and Cheney? Where were they when it was revealed that we torture people? Not people who have been charged with any, convicted of anything, not that that matters, but I mean, people are just scooped up and tortured for the sheer hell of it so that Dick Cheney can sit in his undisclosed location and play with himself while he watches the torture videos. Where were they then? Where were the Tea Party Nation phonies when the entire Bush crime family was taking this country step by step right into totalitarian fascism? Where were they? And now you see that there is a Negro, a brown-skinned person, running the executive branch. Oh, well, we got to pull the country back from, you know, disaster. You racist pigs. So they're all meeting in Nashville. Judson Phillips, he's the founder. He's the one, I believe, who organized this convocation of nutballs. I mean, any political movement has its fringe group, right? But the entire Tea Party Nation that is slowly consuming the Republican Party, there's not a Republican out there that dares criticize this collection of freaks and insane people if they want to retain their office, right? The entire Tea Party Nation is a collection of absolute nutcases. I mean, these are people who in any other society would be ignored. But they have the most powerful media outlet in America. They have Fox News Channel. They have wall-to-wall coverage, encouragement, efforts to get other crazy people to join. And God knows America right now is chock-a-block with crazy people. Oh, are we ever? So there's Beck and Hannity and O'Reilly and Malkin and all these freakoids exhorting people, join the Tea Party. Yes, yes. Okay. So anyway, Rick Sanchez, CNN the other day, yesterday, had Judson Phillips on. He's the founder of Tea Party Nation, a hustler and a scam artist. You can look at this guy and you see the oil just oozing out of every pore. He's so slick. And Judson Phillips is going to explain what the teabaggers are all about. And I got to give Sanchez credit. He refuses to let this rat bastard continue to lie. Because that's all Fox News cohorts and and cheesy, crazy people on the nut right do is lie. They have permission to lie. They have Supreme Court orders telling them they can lie, and it's perfectly acceptable. We'll play that piece of tape or audio for you when we come back. Stay with us.
Good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's 21 past the hour. Justin Phillips, founder of Tea Party Nation, joins Rich Sanchez on CNN yesterday to explain what the teabaggers are all about.
What got the Tea Party movement going is just the absolute sheer magnitude of the spending and what will ultimately come as the tax increases that started with this administration. You know, when the Bush administration was wrapping things up, I think the deficit was something like $160 billion, some number like that.
I think I can help you there.
Well,
You may not even be able to help me.
$1.2 trillion. No, no, that was not the, that includes all the Obama spending.
No, sir. Hold on. Let's do this together and fairly. George Bush left President Obama a deficit of $1.2 trillion.
And I believe that also includes the bills that he would not sign.
No, that doesn't include the bills he would not sign. That I'm telling you, Obama in his first year took it to 1.4. Mr. Bush left him 1.2. And by the way, Mr. Bush got a surplus from Bill Clinton.
Well, I'm not, you know, the Tea Party movement doesn't defend George W. Bush. George W. Bush is not exactly one of my favorite people.
Oh, you miserable.
A whole lot of things
bastard.
That George W. Bush did that I didn't agree with.
Right.
But it doesn't matter whether we like Bush, don't like Bush, think whatever we think. Bush is not the president now. Obama is.
Yeah, you're right. Obama is the president, you little twit. Why don't you show a little bit of respect, if not for the man, at least for the office? He starts out with lies. What got the Tea Party movement going is just the sheer magnitude of the spending and what will ultimately come as the tax increases that started with this administration. What tax increases? There have been tax cuts for 95% of the population. Cuts. And for this moron to say the deficit was something like $160 billion, the U.S. deficit has not been $160 billion for what, 35 years? But they don't care. This is the thing that, you know, that Fox News poll that we talk, or the poll that, on Daily Kos, that Marcos commissioned the polling agency to conduct. And it turns out that 46% of the people think Obama is a socialist, 80%, you know, whatever the numbers were, insane stuff. And as Oberman said tonight, O'Reilly and Beck and Hannity ought to be kissing all over Kos instead of cutting him up. Because it proves that these guys are doing their jobs. They all lie, every single one of them. 36% of the Fox listeners or viewers, whatever, don't even think he's a citizen. 48% thinks he's a racist, Obama. So as Coase pointed out, why isn't Fox News just, or Oberman pointed out, why isn't Fox News just sending buckets of kisses to Coase? This is what these Fox people have been trying to do. They've succeeded. And here comes another one. Tax increases that started with this administration. What tax increases? The deficit was something like $160 billion. Oh, my God. And as Sanchez points out, you're not even close. It was $1.2 trillion. 1,000 times more than what this jerk says. Yeah, 1,000 times greater. All they do is lie constantly, continually, and the American public, as stupid and brain dead as we are, sit there and watch Lost on television, and then watch O'Reilly and Beck and Hannity, and we have lost the Republic. I say let these rat bastards have it. Give it to them. Give them the political system. And let's see what happens. February 4th, 1999. A West African immigrant named Amadou Diallo was shot and killed in front of his Bronx home by four plainclothes New York police officers who said they mistook his wallet for a gun. The police fired 41 shots at Diallo 11 years ago.
41 shots, and we'll take that ride. Cross this bloody river to the other side. 41 shots cut through the night. You're kneeling over his body in the vestibule, praying for his life. Well, is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life. It ain't no secret.
It ain't no secret.
No secret, my friend. You get killed just for living your American skin.
41 shot. 41 shot.
25 before the hour, following up on the Judson Phillips on Sanchez's program the other day, the lies this rat bastard was telling. As the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities notes, quote, Obama largely inherited today's huge deficits. It estimates Obama inherited $1.4 trillion from Bush. The Bush tax cuts alone will contribute $3.4 trillion to the deficit through 2019, while the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan under Bush alone have cost another $1.1 trillion. The Center for Budget and Policy Priorities demonstrates that the bulk of the deficit was driven by Bush policies. And as Prairie 2 adds, Bush did a half-year budget ending April 1st, 2009 instead of September 2009 to project a $160 billion deficit for his last year. That didn't include all the off-the-book stuff like war and the stimulus checks. With the economic meltdown, even that cooked budget went out the window. So the point is, most people will listen to the Tea Party profiteers. They will listen to the lies, and they either don't have the time or the inclination to check this stuff out. And American public, we are notoriously stupid when it comes to politics. We are unbelievably stupid. We also suffer from massive collective amnesia. We can't remember stuff in this society for longer than a week, two at the most. So you get some slick used car salesman looking jerk. No offense to used car salesman. God knows you guys are struggling. You get some used car salesman looking jerk like this Judson Phillips to call a convocation of extreme crazy people to talk about their extreme crazy agenda. I mean, all this guy is doing is working a scam. He's like somebody that runs a telemarketing office someplace, convincing old ladies that they should invest in a tin mine in Bolivia. So it was good to see Rick Sanchez shut this bastard up. No, I'm not cussing again. Bastard is a descriptive term. It's not a vile, filthy mouth cuss word. It's a descriptive term. So it was good to see Rick Sanchez call this bastard on the carpet and say no, 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 until he shut him up and then give him the truth. And even then, the geek could not. Well, Obama's president now. Yeah, and like Obama or don't like him, he is working with this mountain of garbage. The mountain of war garbage and political garbage and deficit spending garbage and trying to save the economy garbage that was handed to him by 8 years of Clinton and 8 years of George W. Bush. And if you want to get really funky, 4 years of Pappy Bush and 8 of Reagan. That's what's going on. Feel betrayed by Obama or not, the fact is he's trying to deal with a mess handed to him by four Republican administrations that immediately preceded his. Not that his isn't Republican too, but you get my point. Regarding the Tea Party profiteers, thinkprogress.org has it how Republican operatives are exploiting economic anxiety for power and cash. That's what Beck's doing. That's what Hannity has done. This little twit all of his radio career life. Limbaugh is just the top of the heap of the psychopathology that is just eating this country alive. But as Think Progress writes, Republican partisans, aided by lobbyists and corporate front groups, are exploiting the legitimate feelings of anger and distrust among many struggling Americans. These operatives and profiteers, many of them experienced public relations professionals, have set up sophisticated social networking portals and online solutions to control the flow of information within Tea Party organizations. Control the flow. This is totalitarianism in its purest form. I refer to it as fascism a lot, but that's shorthand to me for the word corporatism. Fascism, corporatism, I'm not talking about Hitler fascism. I'm talking about Mussolini fascism when I talk about it. Man. Think Progress says as gatekeepers to ostensibly open forums, these political operatives and profiteers have been able to set the political agenda of the Tea Parties and hand out marching orders. And Tea Party profiteers are making millions cashing in on the movement. They're selling Tea Party support to candidates and policies which continue the legacy of Bush-era unregulated capitalism and corporate bailouts. Give me more. Give me more. Beat me more. This is the thing about Republicans and especially these teabag freaks. They are masochists. They are absolute psychosexual freaks. Beat me more! Scrape my body with pieces of cork that has glass embedded in it. Beat me. Flail me. Make me bleed. Ah! Scourge me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Glenn Beck. Sick. Eric Odom, who appears regularly on Fox News and other venues as a spokesman for the Tea Party movement, is at the center of Tea Party profiteering. Odom maintains dozens, possibly hundreds of Tea Party websites and community forums, which he controls through an NING technology, a technology-based social networking platform. Odom's vast online control of county, state, and issue-oriented Tea Party websites is done through his two for-profit consulting companies, American Liberty Alliance and Strategy Activism LLC. His American Liberty Alliance has served as a hub between disparate Tea Party groups and right-wing front groups. In a biographical video he posted on YouTube, Odom explained that he has worked for years on local and statewide Republican campaigns developing stealth-type marketing. Some say attack sites. He boasted that he built sites behind the scenes, many of them to this day. No one today knows I took part of them in. Some of them were actually very effective in defeating the opponent. While it's unclear exactly who's paying Odom now for his Tea Party profit ventures, Odom has delicately straddled independent populist rhetoric while proclaiming that his network will work exclusively for the election of Republican candidates this year. It sounds like Ralph Reed. Remember Ralph Reed, the little twit, little pretty boy that was the brains behind... what's his name? Not Falwell, but the other one. Pat Robertson's, what was Robertson's organization? Not the Moral Majority. What was the other one? Christian Coalition, that's right. And Ralph Reed, who I don't know what happened to his case, maybe it's still pending, where he was involved in fraud, theft, lying, obstruction of justice, ripping off Native American organizations, telling one group that he would get them gambling licenses, the other group he would prevent the first. I mean, he is a sleazy bottom feeder, Ralph Reed. And he used to say that, well, you know, I believe in operating in a very stealthy-like way. I like to slip into the camp at night and slit all the throats so when they wake up in the morning, they're all dead and they don't know what hit them. Thank you, Jesus! That's Eric Odom, who obviously has adopted a page out of the Ralph Reed playbook. Alan Fuller. According to Tennessee Business Records, Odom's Strategic Activism LLC business partner is Republican new media consultant Alan Fuller, who maintains a firm called Flat Creek Public Affairs. Fuller may be the best clue to find out who pays Odom. On his website, Fuller counts Jane Norton, the Republican candidate for Senate in Colorado, as a client, and also receives payments from several other Republican members of Congress. Fuller helps corral Tea Party support to something called American Majority, a Republican training organization. Glenn Beck, the most powerful promoter of the Tea Parties in the media, often rants during his regular programming that investing in gold is the only way to hedge against the supposed deep inflation in the future. He does not disclose, however, that gold companies are his primary sponsors or that the gold companies he promotes have predatory fees. Goldline, one of Beck's sponsors, sells gold for 30 to 35% more than market value. Beck advises his listeners, here's the deal, call Goldline, study it out, pray on it. Beck has cemented his control over the Tea Parties by launching his own 912 Project Network of social networking sites, which are hosted by his for-profit media company, Mercury Radio Arts. Mercury Radio Theater, they're the ones that talked about the Martians invading. Wasn't that Mercury Radio Theater? With, you know, what's his name?
Thank you.
for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. So we've got Eric Odom, Alan Fuller, Glenn Beck. These are people who are making a fortune off these poor, miserable former wage earners or middle class workers who have been destroyed because of government policies, most notably those of Clinton and Bush too. And they are desperate. They are like the Germans in the 20s. They don't know whether to pee or go blind. They're hurting, and along comes these vampires. Along comes a crowd of vampires. Eric Odom, Alan Fuller, Glenn Beck, Dick Armey, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh. And tell these people that salvation lies just around the corner in the voting booth. Vote for the candidates we tell you to vote for. They're going to make everything fine for you. They're going to make everything okay. Look into my eyes. Pay attention. Watch the spinning ball. Tea Party Nation is one of the profiteers. It's a for-profit business. Tea Party Nation organized the Tea Party Convention at Nashville's Swank Opry Gaylord Hotel. The convention, the ticket price for the convention, nice grassroots price, $550 per person, features a Madison Avenue fashion company selling Tea Party jewelry and a paid speech by Sarah Palin, Dick Armey. Think Progress has documented the Army has a long history of organizing conservative grassroots causes in support of his corporate clients. Army presents himself as an ideologue who gets his profit from who controls his nonprofit Freedom Works as a mere exercise in free market beliefs. But while Army rails against the Wall Street bailout and efforts to rebuild the foundations of the economy, his own lobbying firm represents AIG, Lehman Brothers, Merrill Lynch during the bailouts. Indeed, even his nonprofit still pays him a lobbyist salary of $500,000 a year. There's the Tea Party Express. It's a bus tour. An affiliated political action committee has raised funds using Tea Party messages. The Tea Party Express effort has been a slick public relations gimmick of the Sacramento, California-based consulting firm Russo, Marsh & Rogers. They've worked on several stealth campaigns for Republican clients, including the underhanded push to recall Governor Gray Davis in California. In any case, the Tea Party Express, which Russo, Marsh & Rogers staffers operate, has proved to be a cash cow for the consulting firm. In 2009 alone, it plunged at least $1,025,000 of money it raised back into itself. Oh, man. It's incredible. The profiteers say that the original American revolutionaries cast their tea into the Boston Harbor as a simple rejection of taxation. So the modern Tea Party movement should similarly reject increased financial regulations, health reform, and taxes on the rich. But history tells a different story. Boston revolutionaries rejected subservience to the East India Company, a British-run international corporation. They cast the tea into the harbor as a symbolic message to say that their taxes should go back into the American community, not subsidizing the profits of London elites and foreign corporations. Now, Republican Tea Party profiteers are trying to exploit the movement, pushing them to oppose policies which would actually liberate the middle class and crack down on international corporations. So despite the populist rhetoric, the profiteers see the Tea Party movement as a pool to extract fundraising dollars and volunteers for Republican campaigns. Indeed, RNC Chairman Michael Steele, himself a former lobbyist, has said that he has an expectation that Tea Partiers loyally toe the Republican line. It's a scam. Whenever you have evidence that enough people in the country are gathering together for the purpose of feeding each other's insanity, like so many rabid sheep, You have on the outskirts of that flock the wolves with huge shearing devices. But if you try to tell these miserable bastards, look, you're being, not only are you being exploited, you're being pushed into even a smaller universe from the one in which you live now. Do you not understand? There's nothing waiting for you but more defeat, more upset, more anxiety, more depression, more anger. You are being fleeced. Do you not understand this? You have four multimillionaires in media who continue to lead you around, taking everything you have, your houses, your cars, your spouses, your children, your future, your bank accounts, your dignity, your humanity. Do you not understand it, you poor, miserable, crazy people? Why don't you people try to get well? Drunks can get well. Drug addicts can get well. Smokers can get well. Do you teabaggers not understand what's being done to you? On the other hand, to hell with it. Just keep going down that path. Glenn Beck is going to save you. Sean Hannity cares about you. Bill O'Reilly wants to be your friend. And Rush Limbaugh shows you the way, the truth, and the light, and loves you. Massachusetts, that would be Democrats as well as Republicans. The Democrats stayed home because they're pissed off at Obama for some reason. Oh, I know, so am I. And the Republicans were told that vote for Scott Brown if you want to see your stock portfolio take off. Because Scott Brown would reinstall the Republican majority in the United States Senate. Well, it's on that basis that Prairie 2 writes. The Scott Brown bounce continued today with the Dow up again as his swearing-in established the new Republican majority in the Senate and heralded the return of economic prosperity. Okay, back to reality. 29 of 30 Dow components declined today, dragging the market down 2.5%, and the broader markets dropped 3% as the economy continues to slip. The market has given up everything it has gained in the past 3 months. And as the U.S. dollar continues to strengthen, you can expect further declines. China has frozen the issuance of new stock by companies, and that signals that they are very serious about controlling their economy and avoiding bubbles. Greece may default on its debt, and other southern European countries that embraced elements of Reaganomics are increasingly in trouble, with Portugal and Spain close to default as well. Ireland is included in a group of countries that went in heavily for U.S. dollar investments, known in Europe as the PIGS, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and Spain. They're in deep trouble as the euro plunges against the dollar. Ironic, since it is the U.S. that is really in trouble, but with the trillions that Wall Street banks were able to pump into world markets in the past year, it is the U.S. dollar that is pulling it all down. Meanwhile, back in the USA, according to the job placement firm Challenger, Gray and Christmas, layoffs scheduled by major corporations have jumped 59% from December to January. The number is still much lower than a year ago, but is moving in the wrong direction and picking up speed. Weekly unemployment claims are up again, and there's widespread apprehension about the monthly job report that comes out tomorrow. There is word from the Obama administration that the report will also provide details about how the Bush crime family understated job losses in the lead up to the 08 election. It seems that there were a million more people unemployed than reported. Republicans continue to brag about how many jobs they created during the Bush reign, even though there had been a net loss of jobs even before this most recent revelation. And the Fed has announced that it will stop buying home mortgages. It didn't buy any last week. And the effect that will have on the economy can only be guessed at. If you guess higher interest rates, plunging home values, and a collapsing real estate market, you may well be right. It's always darkest before the dawn, unless you go blind. Prairie2.com. Check him out. See, they lie about everything. Every single thing. I've been telling you this for what, 2 years? 4, 6, 8, 10, 12? And you know it. I mean, not that I'm educating you. That's not what I'm here for. But Republicans are liars, and the teabaggers take it to the extreme. And Fox News is nothing but a collection of liars that are getting wealthy off the ignorance in this country. Astonishing. I hope the teabaggers and the Republicans have a resounding victory this November. Yes. And then 2 years from now, I hope they get the executive branch, all of it, and pull the entire republic down. Pull us into the gutter. Do you suppose that'll wake these people up? Huh? Give them a chance to govern. We talked about the Frenchman, Pierre Puget, I don't know, I can't pronounce it, from the 1950s, who started a teabagger movement, similar teabagger movement in France. After the Marshall Plan had brought American this and American that into France. Oh, he was a great one. Reminded me of Beck. Smarmy little creep from the French countryside who convinced people to join his movement. They won 50 seats in the House of Deputies and then immediately collapsed because carrying signs and placards is not the same as governing. And they couldn't do it. And if Sarah Palin ever gets her hands on the football, then it's all over. Because don't forget, Sarah Palin is an Armageddonist. She is ready to put on her lipstick, shave her nether parts, and go meet her Lord and Savior as she floats into heaven on the rapture. Problem is, she wants to speed that up a little bit. And if that means that there has to be mega death on the planet in order for Sarah Palin to have her rapture, well, that's God's will. God leads me. I wonder what the people in jail down in Haiti, the 10 or so evangelicals who went down there to snatch children. Oh, but our motives were pure, Michael. How can you keep talking about us as though we were arrogant and stupid?
Well, we feel that God led us to this. So God put us in prison. God is going to make sure that we have lousy representation. And God is going to make sure that we all serve about 50 years. And God will see that our children and spouses back home grow up without us. Because God is wonderful.
Or something like that. I'm sorry, if you're a religionist, okay, you shouldn't be listening to this program, because what you hear on this program will eat into your brain and give you brain tumors. LA Times today, article by Noam Levy, about soaring cost of health care has set a record. Spending this last year on healthcare was 17.3% of the economy, and the share paid by the United States will soon exceed 50%, according to a study. Levy writes, it was the largest one-year jump healthcare, largest one-year jump in its share of the economy since the government started keeping such records half a century ago. How much? In 2009, $2.5 trillion spent. $134 billion more than the previous year, when healthcare consumed 16.2% of the gross domestic product. This is all according to an annual report by independent actuaries at the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, which was released today. This nonpartisan accounting agency also projected that as early as next year, the country could mark another milestone as government picks up more than half of the nation's total health care tab for the first time. The report appears likely to fuel further debate about the health bills now stalled in Congress. In the absence of change, if nothing is done, and this is what the teabaggers want, if nothing is done, the report raises a grim prospect for the country, a healthcare system for profit consuming an ever greater and potentially unsustainable share of the economy, even as private health coverage lags. This is what the teabaggers want. This is what Glenn Beck and the millionaires at Fox News Channel, those wonderful truth tellers, fair and balanced, this is what they have convinced the teabaggers to believe in.
Helping of truth, it's more Mike Malloy.
Better speak to the powers that be today. Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand?
21 past the hour.
You can take your revenge.
So, according to Noam Levy, writing at the LA Times, he quotes Karen Davis, president of the Commonwealth Fund, a leading authority on healthcare policy. Karen Davis says, quote, the health system is hurting, and we are seeing that in these numbers, this incredible increase. End quote. The report also points out the financial cost of the so-called Great Recession, that we're in now and the growing pressure it is putting on state and local governments. Federal and state spending on Medicaid, the nation's primary health insurance program for low-income Americans, jumped nearly 10%, according to the report. Medicare spending, meanwhile, shot up over 8%. Obama and many healthcare experts have argued that reshaping the healthcare system will ultimately make it more efficient, even if overall health spending continues to increase. Of course, there's growing concern that as much as a third of the medical care delivered in this country does not help patients. Ooh, there's a news flash. Len Nichols, health policy director at the centrist New America Foundation, said, quote, "Are we getting value for the dollar? That's the question. If you believe that so much medical care is unnecessary, as I do, then it is criminal that we are spending so much," end quote. CMS officials, that's the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS officials noted that healthcare spending has been increasing even as the number of Americans without health insurance is growing, which, duh, is another sign of problems in the system, isn't it? The chief actuary for CMS says, quote, "With higher unemployment, people lose their jobs, and many of them lose their health care coverage in the process, and under current law, they don't have much to fall back on," end quote. That's Richard Foster, chief actuary for CMS. Foster said that the report by his office indicated that two of the main trends driving calls for a health overhaul, rising costs and shrinking numbers of people with health coverage, are essentially the same as they were when the health care debate began last year. He said, quote, "Nothing much has changed in that regard," end quote. Now think about it, truth seekers. A year ago, when Obama suggested that the legislative branch of the government get its ass in gear and reshape the health insurance industry, medical care delivery of services in this country, remember? And what happened next? What happened next was the debate that Obama anticipated, expected, wanted, a lot of Americans wanted. Okay, let's get serious. This is not Hillary Clinton and her task force working behind closed doors. This is the president saying, okay, legislative branch, you do it. You're the representatives of the people. You do it. And I will take a look at what you do. This is what I want. I'm the president. Here's what I want. But remember, the president proposes, Congress disposes. So what happened? Where was the debate? You saw it. You saw what happened. These slimy, psychotic teabaggers and the people driving them, the profiteers, the Glenn Becks and the rest of these swine. Was there a discussion in this country about overhauling the health insurance system? Not a bit. Was there discussion about how to rein in the costs? Oh, yeah, tax cuts! Was there any debate in this society whatsoever that was based in reason, logic, and or rationality? No. You saw it. You saw it. You saw these foaming, screaming right-wingers invading town hall meetings where representatives of the people were trying to get some input, trying to get a discussion going. And what did they get? Glenn Beck poison, Fox News Channel lies and distortions, Dick Armey's gang of bandits continuing to slap around the already frustrated and fear-ridden American public. It's astonishing what they have done, what the Republicans have done to mental health in this country, huh? Isn't it? Yeah, Republicans. And now this circle jerk of teabaggers in Nashville. Oh, well, you know, we're having a convention. We gotta get the country back. From what, you moron? Oh, that's right. The Negro in the White House. That's right. I'm sorry. I keep forgetting. That's what your primary motivation is. Oh, and the fact that you are dupes for corporate America. You are doing exactly what you are told to do, only you're not even aware of it. You think these ideas are coming from you? You think you are coming up with this stuff? You don't think it's coming out of the addled, screwy brains of freaks like Beck and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and the rest of these swine, these multi-millionaire propagandists who jerk you around and play with your head every single day until you don't know which way is up, which way is down, or what you're going to do to try to hold on to your house, your job, your children's education, your marriage. They're making a lot of money, though, you idiots.
They say don't step off the sidewalk and don't cross over the line. But we'll serve time at night when the lights begin to dim and the smoke seems to clear.
It's Mike Malloy.
I need to digress here for a moment. It's 25 before the hour. Scott Brown, the guy who took over the Teddy Kennedy seat in Massachusetts, the one that the teabaggers and the right-wingers think is their boy. I have news for you people. Are you aware of his record? There's a website on theissues.org. And their tagline is every political leader on every issue, and they really examine all the issues. Scott Brown, while he was a member of the Massachusetts State House, he supported he does support and still does the following principles concerning gun issues. Okay, Scott Brown on gun control. Let's start there. He believes that citizens should be allowed to carry concealed guns. He believes that manufacturers should be required to provide child safety locks on guns. He believes that there should be required background checks on gun sales between private citizens at gun shows. And he also believes that there should be a requirement that anyone who possesses a gun must have a license. Oh, my goodness! Really? Well, you dumb right wingers, what, you didn't check his voting record? How about abortion? That's another issue that gets everybody's bloomers in a wad. He believes abortions should always be legally available. He believes, in addition to that, he believes abortions should be available when the pregnancy resulted from incest or rape. And he also believes that abortion should be available when the life of the woman is endangered. Abortion should always be legally available. No. Really? What about, let's see here, civil rights? He voted yes on defining marriage as one man and one woman. Well, yeah. What else is here? Well, on these issues, he pretty much voted as a right winger. Let's see what else we've got here. Health care. He voted no on a constitutional call for universal health care. He voted yes on tax credits for all smoking regulation costs. He supports patients' rights to sue their HMOs. He supports patients' rights to appeal to administrative board of specialists when services are denied by their HMO. He supports increasing state funding for training health workers to recognize and respond to the release of biological agents. You know, make you sick. He supports the right of citizens to have access to basic health care through managed care, insurance reforms, and state-funded care where necessary. Maybe Scott Brown teabagged the teabaggers. And a lot of us on the liberal side of the aisle who were convinced that he was a demon, maybe he's not. Everyone who owns a gun must be licensed. Hey! Hey, jerkwads listening to the program. Hey, yo, you Second Amendment freakoids. What about this? I've been telling you for years that when the time came for a gun grab, it was going to come from the right, not the left, you morons. We believed in being armed because the day may come when we have to, you know, mix it up a little bit with you freaks. We always believe in access to weapons, those of us on the real political left. But you right-wingers, looks like you got teabagged. Or is that sandbagged? Or is it both? So you're your new boy in the Senate. License for everyone who has a gun. Abortion should be legal and available. Ooh, ouch. Oh, my God. How did y'all get fooled? That's right. The Becks and Hannitys and Limbaughs. And O'Reilly's, they just wanted to mash the faces of the citizens of Massachusetts into the empty seat of Ted Kennedy, and they didn't care how they did it. They even convinced you jerks to go vote for somebody who stands fairly firmly against the garbage you believe in. Amazing. Everybody at Fox News should be congratulating and thanking Marcos Melitzos, Daily Kos, should be congratulating him for the veracity of the poll that he had commissioned that shows that these four people, one of whom does not work for Fox, but they might as well, that they have the ability to scramble the brains of so many right-wing Americans into believing stuff that is completely 180 degrees from reality. God, you people crack me up. Butt-level stupidity. It's astonishing. Oh, well. What else we got? Oh, yeah, Joe Connison, one of my favorite writers, who now writes for the New York Observer. He says the most revealing moments in President Obama's State of the Union address were not in his remarks, but the reaction to them by those listening on the Republican side of the aisle. Oh, yeah. When he proposed to recover what he termed a financial responsibility for, in plain English, a bank tax, from the largest and most heavily leveraged Wall Street firms, the Republicans sat on their hands and scowled while the Democrats cheered and whistled. And when he warned that the Supreme Court's latest decision would open the political process to mega corporations and their foreign owners, the Republicans were so enraged that they have since accused him of lying. On both counts, the facts support the president. More importantly, however, is what both issues say about the continuing character of the Republican Party at a time when its leaders are counting on the conservative populism of the Tea Party to revive the party's fortunes. Wow. Although Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito appeared to mutter that the president was not right during the speech, and was then echoed by every right-wing commentator from the Washington Times to the Wall Street Journal, nonpartisan observers believe that Obama is indeed correct. Gerald Hebert, executive director and director of litigation at the Campaign Legal Center in Washington, said, quote, with the corporate campaign expenditure ban now being declared unconstitutional, domestic corporations controlled by foreign governments or other foreign entities are free to spend money to elect or defeat federal candidates, end quote. Fred Wertheimer of Democracy 21, a longtime reform advocate, explained why that's true despite existing legal prohibitions against any contribution or expenditure by a, quote, foreign national, end quote, to influence a federal, state, or local election. You see, the current statute defines a foreign corporation as any firm that is, quote, organized under the laws of or having its principal place of business in a foreign nation. So a company organized in Germany or headquartered in China would still be subject to the existing ban on donations. But, Wertheimer noted, there are domestic corporations, those organized under state laws of the United States, which are and can be controlled by foreign interests. Until the Supreme Court overturned the ban on corporate spending in the Citizens United decision, those foreign-controlled companies were subject to the same restrictions as American-owned firms. By striking down that prohibition, the court's Republican majority freed any foreign-controlled domestic company to spend its funds directly to influence our elections. The Tea Party movement. My God. Well, just let it happen. Let the Republicans and the Tea Partiers have a go at it. I swear that, you know, I consider myself to be of immensely average intelligence until I listen to what passes for commentary by these right-wingers and what is obvious reaction to it by so many of these right-wingers, Republicans, Tea Partiers in this country. And then I think to myself, no, Malloy, you're not of average intelligence. You're up there in the one-tenth of one-billionth of one-billionth of one-trillionth percentile when you compare yourself to right-wing teabaggers. But then again, that's not fair, I know.
Defining anger management. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. I want to get to this discussion about don't ask, don't tell in a moment. John is in Minneapolis listening on KTNF. Hey, John.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I got a word for you and a number.
Okay.
The word is Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
and the number is 2010. Can't wait. Just wondering why you're angry.
What's going to happen?
I think the Democrats are going to be showing the door in the House and in the Senate. I don't know.
Why does that make you happy?
Because I think this country's going in the wrong direction.
How so?
Well, let me ask you a question.
No. How so? How's the country? You're the one making the claims. Back them up. Either back them up or get off my program.
Well, here's
how is the country going in the wrong direction?
Please let me answer.
I'm asking you to answer.
Answer.
Come on, wake up, wake
right
up.
Now.
How?
The president seems to favor the public sector employment over private sector.
Why do you say that? Where's your proof?
In his State of the Union address, he said that he would give forgiveness of college loans after 10 years.
Do you know why? Do you have any reason? Do you have any idea why?
He wants to stimulate public sector
employment. No. Are you out of your mind? Do you realize what's going on? Obviously, you have no idea of what it takes to go to college. Here's the way it works now, John. If somebody, some kid, wants to get a government loan, a government loan to go to school. He has to apply through a bank. The bank gets the money from the government. The bank hands the money to the kid, and the bank charges the kid interest. Why does that make sense to you?
Why does
that make sense to you? Why doesn't the kid just get the money from the government and pay the government back? Why does there have to be a bank taking something that the bank has done nothing to have any earning factor in it at all? It's not the bank's money. It is tax money.
It is
government money. So how do you say that Obama saying that means he wants to stimulate the public sector rather than the private? What are you talking about?
He is rewarding public sector.
Oh, my God, he's rewarding. Go away, John. Your ignorance is overwhelming. I can smell it all the way down here in Atlanta. Are you out of your mind? That's the reason you want the Democrats to lose the House and the Senate, because the president proposes eliminating the middleman, and the middleman happens to be a predatory bank that will come and take your house before you can say, I hope the Democrats lose. Are you crazy? Ladies and gentlemen, John is a classic example of what happens when your brains have been totally masticated by scumbums like Beck. Here's a guy, I wonder if John, and I don't want to ask him because he's a jerk. I wonder if John has a kid in college. I wonder if John likes the idea that in order to get a government loan, you have to go through a private bank. How about you, John? When it's time for you to collect your Social Security, would you like it be paid to a bank and then they take a cut? Oh, that's right. You probably don't believe in Social Security yet. You idiot. Get off my radio program. Ah. Now, look, for you right wingers who have the mistaken impression that I'd like to hear from you, you're wrong. I don't want anything to do with you. You're garbage. You have 1,000 radio programs to spew your idiocy. Go there. I don't want you here. And don't con Kathy, who's screening the calls, into making her believe that you have something logical, rational, or ethical to say, because you have none of that. Don't call me. Go away. I want you people out of my country. Scram. Beat it. Whatever you do. But don't call here. Ever. Again. You swine. I hate all of you. You have nothing to say. The only thing you have to say is garbage that's been pumped into your head, and you think that my audience wants to have me put you on the air so you can regurgitate it on this program? Are you insane? Yes, you are. Jesus. How do people like that exist?
I have two words for you. Massachusetts in 2010.
I just sat here and said Scott Brown is a gun grabber and pro-abortion. Well, I shouldn't say pro-abortion. Nobody's pro-abortion. He's a gun grabber and believes that abortion should be legal. And then this jerk wad calls me up and tells me, well, Massachusetts in 2010. Are you out of your mind? Yes. And the only argument that he had was, well, Obama is a socialist because he wants to eliminate banks from standing in the way between some kid and his education and prolonged debt engineered by a bank. It's boundless. It's endless. The ignorance of these Republican savages. It is boundless. It is endless. Man. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll go back to your phone calls. How do you reach maturity? I'm assuming that guy was over 21. He sounded like he was probably about 50. How do you reach maturity on any level, however you judge maturity? just a factor of age or a factor of maybe a few things you've done in your life? How do you reach maturity and think like that? That's a guy that probably has a high school education and doesn't, not that there's anything wrong with that, but he doesn't believe that people should go to college. Or he believes that the bankers should take a cut. You know, the bankers would come take a huge slice of his ass, and he would probably say, well, yeah, I think it's a good idea. I just want to clear something up regarding a right-wing point of view or whatever you thugs call yourselves, Republicans, teabaggers, I really don't care. You are not invited to participate in this program, okay? The only thing you can do that I will allow you to do is to sit back and listen. And after you've listened to this program for at least a year, then we might consider taking your call, but you only will be allocated 15 seconds. Now, that's just the way the rules are, because you people are psychopaths. And there's enough poison being spewed out across the country by your media heroes, the multimillionaires that eat you for lunch and spit you out when they go to the bathroom. Because of that, You have all these outlets. Don't call my program. I'm serious. I don't want you here. And the people who do listen to this program feel the same way. You have nothing to add to any kind of national discussion about how to get ourselves out of a 30-year hole dug by Republicans, right-wingers, conservatives, neo-Nazis, teabaggers, whatever you freaks are in any given moment. You are shapeshifters, and your newest shape are these disgusting teabaggers and your painted exorcism infested leader from Wasilla, please go away. Tom in Joshua Tree, California writes, Mike, when it comes to war, these right-wingers always put country first and the teachings of their religion second. They love the killing, the death, the drama of misery. But when it comes to civil liberties and human rights, they always put their religion first and their country second. They never put the Declaration of Independence up for defense. They put up their Bible. They are not Americans first, but neither are they so-called Christians. They aren't even human. What they are is violent, liars, women haters, child haters, earth haters, life haters. Because with them, that's what's always first. The violence, the slavery, the misery, the ignorance. It's who they are, what they are, and they'll take us all down with them just to prove how diabolical they really are. Tom. I'm still just fascinated by that caller who felt that Obama was being a socialist because he wanted to ease the burden on college students by eliminating an unnecessary bit of vig on the money that the college students are borrowing from the government. It's astonishing. But this is how these people wind up thinking after they listen to Fox and Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly and Beck and the rest of these swinish America haters. Yeah, load the kid up with extra interest and fees and late charges. Yeah. And how dare Obama say that, what was it he said the other night, that these student loans, these government loans, after 10 years can be forgiven? Oh, that sucks. That sucks. Make the little bastards pay forever. Right? So you right-wing freaks, seriously, do me a favor, because I used to feel like playing with you, but it's so old. I mean, it really is. It's just so old. You have nothing to add to the public discussion, such as it is. You have nothing to say about this country. You're trying to destroy this country and everything in it. Stay away from me and my program. I'm serious. Just stay away. There's a big warning sign now on this program. Trespassers will be violated. Do you understand? You understand, you little teabaggers? I'm sure you know what I mean. What, you had a problem with that, Kathy? Trespassers will be violated? Oh, my God. You don't get out much, do you? You don't get out in the country, way out in the country like I do when I go out hunting for small game animals to kill.
Like snipes?
Yes, I love them. You seem to like them when they're cooked properly.
Sounded either like yoga or Yoda or dyslexia of Borg, you know. Your ass will be laminated.
What? Saying that violators or prosecutors will be violated? Or trespassers will be violated? Never mind. I thought you knew what that meant.
Talking funny, are you now? The force is with you.
Danny is in Orlando. Hey, Danny.
Mike, how you doing? I feel the exact same way that you do. You know, Mike, we said this in 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, and going on up, you know. We said that George Bush and Dick Cheney and the Republicans are going to screw this country up so bad that it might take a generation or two or if ever to get out of, okay?
Right, right.
And I just wanted to say this real quick, that the Bush and Cheney and the Republicans, they put this country in the toilet. With that Supreme Court ruling, you know, the FEC versus CU, you know, the only thing that they did with that ruling was they just flushed the toilet, and they flushed this country down, because like you said, right down the toilet. And the scary part about this, the only thing that's like standing in between that decision is this weak-kneed Democratic Congress that we have up there, okay, to try to pass some sort of meaningful regulation that just might rein it in a little bit.
Right.
That is that is the only thing, and like I said, standing between. And like I say, right now, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I served 8 years in the United States Marine Corps. Okay? America as we know it no longer exists. Okay? And I was talking to a guy today, another like truck driver. He had on his shirt, and on the back of it, it said that don't blame me. I voted for the Americans. That's what the guy's shirt said. Okay? I mean, mm-hmm. He's free to wear that. But like you said, I tried to engage him in a conversation. And in the words of Ron White, that comedian and great philosopher, you just can't fix stupid.
No, you can't.
you what you just can't do it. And like I say, it's not even, they're not even worth talking to. And this country right now, only thing that we're doing now is just we are rearranging the chairs on the Titanic.
Mm.
Like, I truly believe, and you can tell me otherwise, that America as we know it as of right now no longer exists. Period.
No, Danny, I agree. I appreciate you calling. Thanks a lot for the input. I agree with what you're saying, obviously. I don't know how to, well, what you said about it, the feeding back to me, I guess what I said, or somebody said about a generation or two to get things back to normal or approaching normal. It's never been normal, not for the past, 30, 35 years, but, it's going to take an awful lot of work. And frankly, I think the only thing that is left is hope that we can do it. There's a whole mindset, that exists inside the heads of, a huge number of Americans. That mindset has to be eliminated permanently if we're going to turn things around. I don't know how you eliminate a mindset out of somebody's head without completely altering them, but that's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take.
The Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Quick email here from Judy in Asheville, North Carolina, writing about John, freak that called in. She writes, that guy who had you so angry might be the same guy who has called you for years. He may be mentally unbalanced. Is he Jay, who used to call you when you were on the radio in Chicago? I used to go bonkers when Jay called and you spent time trying to reason with him. I'm glad you won't allow him any time now. Go away, jerk. Go away and don't ever call again. This slimy, clever trickster guy has to be stopped. He's wasting our time. Too bad you don't have a voice recognition machine to dig these crazy guys out. He makes my skin crawl to think he's walking the streets. Girls probably don't like him. These are the angry guys in our society. Loser. Yeah, really. I mean, the sad part is that they have more in common with a democratic socialist than they have with any of these right-wing neo-Nazis that they think are going to include them in the New World Order. They will be the stepping stones. They will be the pavement stones, I should say, that the goose-stepping right wing comes marching down. He just doesn't know it yet. Oh, well. He'll have to figure it out himself. Tobias is in Lincoln, Nebraska. Tobias, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Mike.
Sure.
I just wanted to comment about Scott Brown. I mean, I don't care what he did in Massachusetts, but now that he's in the Senate, he's going to act like every other Republican senator out there. He's going to vote with them 100% of the time, and I don't see anything different. He's just saying what he's saying now because that's what you say, but I don't believe him one bit.
Well, that was his record, what I was quoting from. You can take a look at his voting record when he was in the Massachusetts legislature just by going to that website. So I don't know what he's going to do either. But what I'm saying is he has advocated for and supported legal abortion. He's advocated and supported that anyone who owns a gun must have a permit or a license, I should say, to own that gun, not to carry one. He believes that people should have the right to carry a gun too, but just to own a weapon, own a gun, I should say, not a weapon, but a gun. You must have a license. And the reason that was amusing to me is because I've said, and a lot of people have said many times, that if a gun grab ever comes in this country, it's not going to come from liberals. It's not going to come from Democrats. All Democrats have ever tried to do is just make people be responsible. You know, register your weapon. You shall not own a military assault rifle. Make the manufacturers have tags on the ammunition so you can track a bullet. Put child locks on the guns. That's all the liberals have ever asked for. It's been the right wingers who always have gone for the gun grab, and these jerks don't realize it.
Yeah, I agree with you, but Scott Brown isn't going to be independent. He's going to be like every other Republican, no matter what his record was in Massachusetts. Once he gets the corporate people sink their claws into him, he'll be like every other Republican, and he will have no principles, and he'll just be a puppet.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. Although, you know, you never know. Don't forget, Earl Warren, who was Chief Justice of the United States, he was appointed by who? Eisenhower. Earl Warren was a Republican governor of California, and Eisenhower appointed him because he was a conservative, and the Warren Court was responsible for more liberal court decisions. Maybe you can remember. I don't know. You're probably not old enough, but I can remember signs all over the South, big signs that said, "Impeach Earl Warren," because he was too liberal. So you never know until these guys get into office. I mean, look at Obama. Everybody thought he was this fire-breathing liberal. Well, not everybody, but those of us who allowed ourselves to get all fantasy about it. And turns out he's not a liberal any more than Ronald Reagan was a liberal. So, you know, people will fool you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But you're probably right about Scott Brown. I would not be the least bit surprised, Tobias. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in, man.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Yeah, Republicans are and conservatives and the rest of these swine are pretty much that. You know, they, as Tobias said, they do whatever the party line dictates. They think they're going to be independents. They think they're going to take on the corrupt Republican establishment from within the party because they're a different kind of Republican. But as soon as they get elected, and I think the same thing happens to Democrats, because, you know, the legislative branch is not an independent branch of government anymore. Come on, let's stop thinking about this that way. It isn't. It is a wholly owned subsidiary of corporate America. Damn it. All of it. So, you know, to guess how somebody's going to vote, like I just did, is an exercise in utter futility. They are going to vote in the way that corporate America tells them to vote. Or, especially now, corporate America will say, if you don't do this, we will defeat your ass so fast, you will not remember what it was like to have gotten elected to begin with.
Because without dissent, it's not America. Here's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. By the way, in just a moment here, we have a report card from Kay Petrini coming up. But J.S. sent this in. For these right-wing jerks like John, the caller earlier, believing the private sector will create all the jobs, I have one question. Who's stopping them? The federal funds rate is zero. Inflation is low and labor costs are falling. There's no more you can do for them. So where are all the private sector jobs? It's a good question, but don't ask questions like that of a right winger. He won't know what the hell you're talking about. Or he'll immediately run to his radio and see if Beck is telling him what to say. It's time for a report card from Kay Petrini.
Your children well, as their father's hell did slowly go by and feed.
Kay Petrini is our education affairs correspondent. She's a school teacher in San Francisco. She writes, "Hi, Mike. I just caught the end of the first hour of tonight's show, and I think this fits in with what you've been talking about, the idiotic teabaggers who remain convinced that Glenn Beck and the rest of the right wing actually care about them. In U.S. history this week, we've started our unit on the Gilded Age. The first part of the lesson is a slideshow of the photographs of Lewis Hine, a photojournalist who documented working conditions at the turn of the last century. He focused specifically on the problems of child labor in factories, coal mines, the lumber industry, and agriculture. He also captured the stark reality of large families in their cramped tenement apartments, where after working a 14-hour day, it was not uncommon for these families to spend the entire evening sewing pieces, you know, suspenders, handkerchiefs, etc., in order to supplement their meager wages. Students then read several primary source documents, including an excerpt from Upton Sinclair's The Jungle, and excerpts from the testimony of children explaining how they lost fingers, hands, or other body parts in the factories. The final reading is taken from an interview with a 62-year-old woman about her working life. I'm going to cut and paste it here because there's no way I can paraphrase her powerful words. Quote, "I've worked 11 years. My shortest day has been 14 hours, for I had the children and they had to be fed. There's not one of these trades that I don't know well. It isn't work that I've had any trouble in getting. It's wages. 5 years ago, I could earn $1.50 a day, and we were comfortable. Then it began to go down, $1.25, then $1. There it stopped a while, and I got used to that and could even get some remains of comfort out of it. I had to plan to the last half cent. We went cold often, but we were never hungry. But then it fell again to 90 cents, to 85. For a year now, I have not earned over 80 cents a day and sometimes only 75. I'm 62 years old, and I can't learn new ways. I'm strong. I was always strong. I run the machine 14 hours a day with just the stoppings that have to be made to get the work ready. I've never asked a man alive for a penny beyond what my own hands can earn, and I don't want it. I suppose the Lord knows what it all means. It's His world and His children in it, and I've kept myself from going crazy many a time by saying it was His world and that somehow it must all come out right in the end. But I don't believe that anymore. He's forgotten. There's nothing left but men that live to grind at the faces of the poor, that chuckle when they find a new way of making a cent more a week out of starving women and children. I never thought I should feel so, but I tell you, I'm ready for murder when I think of these men. If there's no justice above, it isn't quite dead below. And if men with money will not heed, the men and the women without money will rise someday. How? I don't know. We have no time to plan. We're too tired to think. But it's coming somehow. And I'm not ashamed to say I'll join in if I live to see it come. It's seas of tears that these men sail on. It's our lifeblood they drink and our flesh that they eat." End quote. As I listened to students read that last paragraph out loud today, it struck me that I'm no longer teaching U.S. history. I'm teaching current events. The words of that 62-year-old woman could be uttered today by many in the United States and in the countries where the American corporations are profiting from cheap labor and no regulations whatsoever. But here's the really sad part. Many of the folks today who are in these dire situations actually believe that the solutions come from Limbaugh and the rest of the right-wing blowhards. Lower taxes for the wealthiest, no limits on campaign contributions by corporations, no single-payer health care, and the list goes on. I've read that above excerpt countless times, and the strength of this woman never ceases to amaze me. It makes me wonder, where are voices like hers today? And then I remember, the main difference between her and her modern counterparts is that her mind was not polluted by Fox News and the rest of the right-wing media. She knew what was going on and what needed to be done to fix it. They yell and scream against everything that would make their plight more bearable. And because they are so misinformed and ignorant of the facts, they continue carrying wood for the corporatists, thinking they are helping to build a bonfire for a big party to which they'll be invited. They have no clue that actually they are building their own funeral pyre.
Teach your children well, 'cause their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they
Kay Petrini is our education affairs correspondent. She's a school teacher in San Francisco. I'll tell you what, between her writings and Bob Alexander's and occasionally Bridget Wolf's, hell, I don't, all I have to do is sit here and read what they write, and it would be as informative and entertaining and in-depth as anything I do. I'm just amazed at some of our contributors. And Prairie, too. Bruce Enberg. Four really crackerjack writers. God. It's a shame that we're not a big-time corporate operation here, you know, like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh, so that we could have writers like that on staff. Oh, well. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Kay. Good work. Glenn is in Ontario, Canada. Hey, Glenn.
Hi, Mike. That's a tough act to follow.
Boy, I'll tell you, I'm ready to just pack up and go have a glass of wine.
Wow, that's powerful stuff. I was wondering, Mike, if you could give us a recap on last night's topic concerning the underwear bomber. I thought that was just a pretty powerful.
I've got the.
Could you give us a follow up?
Well, there is no follow up. I've got the link at my website. If you want to take a look at the testimony that was given before the House Homeland Security Committee, where the facts that I talked about last night that were reported by the World Socialist website. The facts are right there in the congressional testimony where the State Department was told by the intelligence agencies to let this guy get on the plane because they, the intelligence agencies, were working on bigger fish to fry. And they didn't want anyone to know that this guy was under surveillance when, in fact, they had planned on questioning him as soon as he landed in Detroit anyway, which made the whole thing a lie. So, and then the Obama administration, to its discredit, is playing along with this. When Obama says, well, this was an isolated incident, according to his own intelligence agencies, no, it isn't. So the bottom line is, obviously, what this is, it's obvious to me, I think, is it's a plot to destabilize even further the Obama government. And the intelligence agencies, these plants inside the American intelligence community, will do anything, even if it means killing 200, 300, 400 Americans. They'll do it in order to hurry up and
I agree, absolutely, totally. But had that plane gone down and 200-plus were killed, I think Obama would have been either he'd be forced to resign or impeached by the right-wing crazies, the and they'd turn on him. And
well, they probably would. Of course, yeah. they would have to get control of the House and well, at least the House before they could start impeachment hearings. But the other thing to keep in mind, you live in Ontario. Had that plane exploded over to Detroit, Windsor would have caught. God only knows what would have happened in Windsor.
Well, yeah, but yeah, of course. But I tried to get this through to Stephanie's program this morning, and they scoffed at me. They didn't understand the implications of these agents letting him on the plane. this is a huge story.
Well, here's what you can do. Just get the link off my website and email it to Steph and our producer and let them read it. Maybe that'll work. Glenn, I got to go. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Before the hour, back to your calls. Lauren is listening to Serious Driving in Kansas. Hey, Lauren.
Mike, how are you this evening?
I'm all right. How are you?
Hey, I got a question. John piqued my curiosity. I thought the president said that money wasn't just going to be given to somebody to go to college. They were going to have to pay it back at a 10% of their income over a 10-year period. Is that correct?
I'm not sure.
I mean, if that's the case, I think that's an awesome program. I mean, because you're holding that person accountable for giving them that money,
right?
And it gives them an opportunity to pay a set amount back, you know, without having to be. I mean, I know guys that are. My brother's a state attorney in Colorado, and he's got a lot of law school debt. He doesn't make a whole lot of money to pay that back, and
right.
I think that's
what the offer was, Lauren. I think that's what Obama was talking about. And the freak that called in, the John character, I mean, how could anyone who is sane be offended by a program like that?
Oh, absolutely not. I'll tell you what, I'll let you go here, but I go to Guatemala once a year, and I know that Walmart has a program, and they'll educate people from Latin America and South America as long as they take that education back and improve their country. And it's too bad we can't set up programs here that you could get a free education if you used it to do something other than work on Wall Street, you know, if you used it to learn to build wind turbines or do something that would help better this country.
I hear you loud and clear. There are programs like that in certain fields of medicine and in certain fields of law where if you your education is paid for, if you will agree to spend 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, years working the way you suggested, working in a field other than banking and finance, yeah. Stephanie's in Pittsburgh, listening to Sirius. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for fighting truth decay. I just wanted to piggyback on your last caller call. What Don may not know is that it takes, of course, those 10 to 20 years of constant payments. And I'm pretty sure that's 15% of your income.
Mm-hmm.
that would be first before the proposal would kick in. And I thought that it was about time that Obama had something half as substantial to pander to all of us 30-something or 20-something that worked so hard for his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, well, we all wish that a lot of these right-wingers would, you know, not just think that just because you're a lefty, you just want a bunch of handouts. Anyway, thanks. Take care.
Okay. Appreciate it, Stephanie. I think I understood what you said. Conservatives or Republicans or the teabagger crowd or the Beck audience, they don't think the way you think, Stephanie. So in the first place, they've had their brains sucked out just as surely as if somebody jammed a straw through their ear and inner ear and all the little bones in there and broke the brain blood barrier and the straw wound up in their some section of their brain that was available, and everything was sucked out. Just sucked out the way you would suck up a chocolate milkshake. And what was put in place of that were just synapses that no longer worked, garbled synapses, all kinds of creepy, crawly stuff that autopsies usually display when a person has died of Alzheimer's. Only these are people who don't have Alzheimer's, but they have Beckheimer's or Hannityheimer's or Limbaugheimer's or O'Reillyheimer's. You know, it's embarrassing to live in the same country with these swine. I mean, stupidity, ignorance is one thing. Ignorance is curable. Stupidity is terminal. And I think, you know, every time we allow somebody to come on the program that's a little bit borderline, one of these callers, and, you know, Kathy will let me know, this one's a little dodgy. Every single time, not only is it a waste of, first of all, it pisses me off. I can't stand that kind of ignorance. I just can't. I can't deal with it. You know, I can't play with these people. Hartman can play with them. Tom Hartman can jiggle them on a string and make them hang themselves while he has great fun. I can't do that. I just want to slap the hell out of them is what I want to do, in a manner of speaking, because the ignorance is polluting and destroying my country and their country, but they don't see it that way. They see the country as having been taken over by Kenyans or something. I don't know. It's just madness. So I can't play that game. I used to be able to play that game, but things got very serious. And, you know, I listened all during the 80s to these crazy bastards talking about join a militia and you got to arm yourself and get ready for the liberal takeover. And I kind of ignored them for the most part, but paid a little bit of attention. And now I realize that they were right, except for the fact that it's not a liberal takeover. Liberals don't want to take over anything. We really don't. We want to be left alone, you know, just run a business, grow a little reefer, have fun, get educated, read books, travel a bit, take care of our kids, love our spouses. That's what liberals want to do. The conservatives, they're the ones, these Republican swine that want to destroy everything because of their crazed political point of view or their crazier religion. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.